Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board with us as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your questions, your comments, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about lawlessness. Lawlessness. What is lawlessness? How do you define lawlessness? Do we find lawlessness in our nation today? Could we say honestly that the Biden administration is a lawless administration? Those are some of the issues that we'll talk about today on this broadcast. Perhaps you have ideas and thoughts. Perhaps you'd like to interject your considerations and ask your questions. We'd love to have you to do so. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inert Word of God. It's called the Bible, the truth book. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time we get back to the Bible and allowing the Bible, the Word of God, to direct our footsteps, to illumine our pathway, that we might be and do as God would be pleased with in our lives. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, one of the problems that we find, if not the major problem that we find in America today, is that we've abandoned God. We've abandoned God's Word. We've abandoned the truth of the Word of God. Somehow, some way, we think that we, speaking of people in general in America, we think that as a nation that we've become so enlightened that we do not need God, that God is just a crutch, the Bible is just an excuse, and therefore there's no need for it. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say that's the root cause of all that we see taking place in America today, and yea, around the world. But as we face the issues, we do so based on the truth of the Word of God. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, made this statement. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And ladies and gentlemen, in John 17:17, the Word of God says that, speaking of Jesus, "Thy word is truth," speaking of the truth of the Word of God. And then we find, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117 and in verse 2, we find these words, "The truth of the Lord endureth forever." And so don't let anybody fool you, deceive you, denying the truth, saying that it's not relevant. Today in our nation, in our nation's capital, in the Capitol complex, including the Senate office buildings and the U.S. House of Representatives, if they would inculcate truth back in their dialogue and discussion, their debates, and their decision-making, it would make a vast difference in the trajectory, the direction that America is going in today. But because truth is hated, truth is rejected, truth is denied, we find the statement from George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in George Orwell's work, the book entitled 1984, a dystopian novel where he sets forth what America would be like by 1984, he made this statement: "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be on target today, spot on with what's truly taking place in our nation. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ that holds the truth, i.e. the Word of God, And it was that thought, that fact, that promulgated an elongated statement from former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, when Jim DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. DeMint made this statement: "Truth is the core principle of Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation." End quote. This is the reason I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christian, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time for Christians and conservatives and patriots to stand for truth, standing up and speaking truth without fear, without favor, without being concerned about whether or not someone's feelings might get hurt or someone might in some fashion disturbed by us telling the truth. There are a lot of folks today on both sides of the aisle that will promulgate something that is a shell of truth. It is a lie wrapped in the shell of truth, and it causes a major consternation and problems and difficulties. You know, when we tell the truth, it may ruffle the feathers of some, but may I say this, back when I was growing up, and I'm still less than 100 years old, in our rural community, they had horse shows. They certainly weren't concerned of whether or not the donkeys would be upset by having a horse show. And we ought to be that relevant in what we say today, that we stand for the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, carry the full line of hurricane generators, hurricane preparedness with the Honda generators, and they have a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the employees of Tools for Time to be off on Sunday to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God ordained it. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview appointment, and see what God does in placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the lines are open. We're going to have a brief monologue, then ask you to, inviting you to call in, giving your dialogue and discussion on the issue and what your thoughts are in relationship to where we are as a nation today and what you feel needs to be done. Love to hear from you, especially as Christians, conservatives, patriots. As we see the world seemingly coming unglued at both ends, many times there's a wonderment as what's happening, how do I become involved, how do I plug in and be a part of the solution and the resolution. Ladies and gentlemen, our Bible is very, very clear that we're living in the last days, and the last days are identified in the Scripture in Matthew chapter 24 as being lawlessness. Lawlessness. I'm going to read you a unit of thought beginning with verse 4 of Matthew 24 and going through about verse 11 as our launching point for what we want to say today. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many," that's the Greek word megas, "multitudes, shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginnings of sorrows." Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations. The word nations, ethnos, of all ethnic people, you should be hated, speaking of the Jewish people in particular, in the text, for my name's sake. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended, means to, it's the Greek word scandalon, means to stumble and fall. Many shall stumble and fall, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, that means running rampant, the love of many shall wax cold. That word iniquity, ladies and gentlemen, is talking about twisted, perverted sin. It's also translated as lawlessness, lawlessness. And because lawlessness shall abound. Ladies and gentlemen, we are seeing the lawlessness in our society today, perhaps as never before. We're watching it take place, ladies and gentlemen. Many times when we talk about the latter days, the last days, and what Jesus says in relationship to what we shall expect. The scripture most people are familiar with is wars and rumors of wars. Well, we know that. We've seen that. We're seeing that today. The wars and rumors of wars, the word rumors means rumblings. Wars and rumblings of wars are taking place today, perhaps at a greater escalation and pace than we've seen in world history. We see that as a result of what is happening in Ukraine with the war of Russia against them. And by the way, Russia is increasingly spreading its long arm now to the Middle East. We're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, where even with the Biden administration, there's a move to supply Syria with mega millions of dollars. And somehow, some way, disregarding the fact that Russia is in control of all of the seaports, all of the ports of entry there in Syria, and watching Russia today pointing the finger at Israel, making accusations against Israel of what they're doing. And the person broadcast today is not going into those details, but just laying the groundwork. But rarely do we think about the fact that part of the last day's prophetic text in Matthew 24, Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13, all dealing with the last days and what we can expect. Multitudes today fail to recognize that part and parcel of that last day prophecy is dealing with lawlessness. Lawlessness. That is where lawlessness seems to be abounding. But do we see lawlessness in the world? Yes. Do we see lawlessness in our nation today? Absolutely, unequivocally. It would take, ladies and gentlemen, a blind, deaf, dumb person not to see the lawlessness that prevails in America today. Let me just give you some illustrations of that lawlessness in case you wonder about that statement. Today, ladies and gentlemen, you'll recall that the summer before, you recall the BLM, the Black Lives Matter socialist, Marxist, communist, anarchist, and along with Antifa. They were marching, rioting, killing police officers, burning buildings, entire communities were destroyed. That's because of lawlessness abounding in society today. And yet very few arrests were made, ladies and gentlemen. No prosecutions. In fact, Vice President Kamala Harris made it a point through one of her organizational structures. She paid the bail money for the thugs that had been burning buildings, shooting police officers, and destroying communities. She paid the bail money for them to be bonded out of jail. That's lawlessness, ladies and gentlemen. It is nothing short of absolute lawlessness. You think, well, that's not happening today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's happening today, just as with ELM, Black Lives Matter. By the way, I don't know if you've read up on the information, but now there's an investigation supposedly taking place where it seemed that the Marxist lesbians that started Black Lives Matter are now being asked questions. Where did they get the $6 million to pay cash for an estate in California, a mansion, an estate in California? Where did they get it? It came out of the till that had been donated for them to, quote, protect black lives because Black Lives Matter. They've not spent a nickel, ladies and gentlemen, to protect the black baby in the mother's womb. They've not spent a dime in Chicago, where hundreds are murdered each and every month in Chicago, mostly black-on-black crime. They've not been interested in that. They have been raking in hundreds of millions of dollars and spending it, lavishing it on themselves. But, ladies and gentlemen, that's part of the lawlessness. May I simply put in a little footnote on that? They may be wondering what happened. They, speaking of the officials, wondering what happened. How did the Black Lives Matter people, the ones in charge, how do they, where did the money come from to spend on a $6 million estate? There will nothing come of it. Listen carefully. There will be no prosecution. There will be no further investigation. There will be nothing that will inure to anything or anyone being brought to justice in that. But today, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing a similar situation of lawlessness. We're witnessing today, ladies and gentlemen, taking place with the riots and the demonstrations and the firebombings of the pro-life center in Wisconsin. I'm looking at two or three articles. Perhaps you are not familiar with that. But because of the leaked document, the draft of the Supreme Court hearings of last fall, the draft was dated February of this year, just released a couple of weeks ago, where it indicates that the Supreme Court's going to overturn Roe versus Wade. Now you say, well, how can they do that? Some that might disagree with that, that's fine. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe the reason they're doing that is for 50 years now, we've had a quote ruling by the Supreme Court that says that abortion was okay, the abortion is legal. But ladies and gentlemen, there's not one infinitesimally small indication in the Constitution that warrants what's been done for 50 years with approximately 65 million human beings being murdered in the womb, but yet it took place. And now as a result of the great potentiality of that being overturned, that decision being changed, there's lawlessness taking place in America today. The thugs in the streets firebombing a pro-life building in Wisconsin and standing on the doorsteps, and we'll talk about it in a moment, of the U.S. Supreme Court justices making threats in churches and disrupting services, all on the premise and on the basis that they have a right to do that because they're demonstrating. And Sleepy Joe Biden, the socialist Marxist thief that's in the Oval Office, now says that demonstrations are all right as long as they're peaceful, not saying or doing anything about the thugs in the streets rampant today across America with threats and intimidation to try to force the U.S. Supreme Court to reverse the opinion and their decision that seemingly is what is going to take place based on the leaked draft. We'll talk about that leaked draft in a moment. Who did it? Why was it done? Will there be any prosecution? Could you consider that lawlessness? Who is responsible to make sure that that person is brought to justice that leaked that document? But going back to the bombing of the pro-life building in Wisconsin, here's the headline on one of them. Wisconsin anti-abortion headquarters reportedly attacked by Molotov cocktail, vandals sprayed graffiti. The graffiti says, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't safe either. Vandals reportedly used Molotov cocktails to attack the headquarters of an anti-abortion organization in Wisconsin this weekend. The criminals also spray-painted a threat to the pro-life group that read, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't safe either. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a threat by socialist, Marxist, mob, and yet you don't see police officers that you see some of the video footage of police officers trying to corral them. You see no arrest. You see nothing be done, and yet there's a federal law that says that they cannot do what they're doing. They're not being arrested. They're not being prosecuted. They're not being put in overnight and bonded out. This article further says the Pro-Life Wisconsin Family Action Organization has a mission statement to advance Judeo-Christian principles and values in Wisconsin by strengthening, preserving, and promoting marriage, family, life, and liberty. End quote. The group is staunchly anti-abortion and pro-family. Last Saturday night or early Sunday morning, the Wisconsin Family Action Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, was vandalized and set on fire. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another article speaking about the same thing. Wisconsin anti-abortion group's office targeted in an arson attack. Dateland Madison, Wisconsin. Vandals struck and anti-abortion group's office in Wisconsin, apparently setting on fire after a Molotov cocktail thrown into the building. Flames were seen coming out of the Wisconsin Family Action office shortly after 6 a.m. Sunday morning, and the fire was being investigated as arson. I like the way this liberal writer put it, apparently. It wasn't immediately clear who vandalized the building, but the message said, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either. were spray painted on the exterior of the building. It appears specific nonprofit that supports anti-abortion measures was the target. Further in the article, the president of the lobbying group, Julianne Appling, said she considers the fire a direct threat against us. She said people could have been hurt if they'd been working in the office at that time. Appling, that is Julianne Appling, said this: "We will repair our offices. We will remain on the job and build an even stronger grassroots efforts. We will not back down. We will not stop doing what we're doing. Too much is at stake in our nation to back down or to stop." Ladies and gentlemen, you remember the study of the book of Nehemiah when the threats came in, the intimidations came in, and the enemy was attacking and threatening them. Some of the threats, according to Nehemiah chapter 4, some of the threats stated that one night when you're sleeping, we're going to come in, surround the camp, we're going to kill everybody. Nehemiah kept working, challenged the people to keep working. He worked with a sword in one hand and a mortar and trowel in the other hand, and said in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 20, "Our God shall fight for us." Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we as Americans, it's time that we as conservatives, it's time that we as Christians, it's time that we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and say, we're not going to back down. We're going to sit down. We're not going to shut up. We're not going to be silent. We're going to stand for truth. We're going to stand for the truth of God's word. But ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough for this Marxist, socialist, anarchist, thuggery group to come against a Wisconsin pro-life center. They're doing the same thing against churches in our nation today, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article. It says, churchgoers thwart abortion activists' attempts to derail worship services. This has been very little profiled on television. Most of the networks have not carried a statement about it at all. Those that did, it was a truncated, news alert about it. This article states, dated May 9th, parishioners of the Cathedral of Our Lady of Angels in Los Angeles ushered pro-abortion protesters out of their church Sunday. During the church service, pro-abortion demonstrators, I call them Marxist, Socialist, Communist thugs, they're using the false agenda of going against what the Supreme Court justices purportedly are going to rule about overturning Roe versus Wade. They're using that as an excuse. These same thugs, these same demonstrators are going across the nation at every drop of the hat using those events as reasoning, rationale to do what they're doing. It is the same thing that Black Lives Matter is doing. It's the same thing that Antifa is doing. It is the same group of people that are anti-American, anti-constitutionalist, that wanted to tear down United States of America. This article says, during the church services, pro-abortion demonstrators walked between pews toward the front of the church in an apparent attempt to reach the altar before being blocked by parishioners and escorted out of the building, according to the footage supplied to the network. Roughly five women wearing red gowns, large white hats, attempted to walk to the front of the church as the priest guided the parishioners in prayer, according to the footage. Ushers blocked the protesters from walking to the altar, and several men exited their pews to help ushers escort the demonstrators out of the building. Quote, "You're attacking me right now. You started attacking me," one protester yelled as the usher blocked her from moving to the front of the church, according to the video. You go into a church building. You interrupt the services, and then when someone tells you to get out, when someone tries to escort you out, then you reply back that you're attacking me. Ladies and gentlemen, see how the game is played? Notice further in this article, it says, the yelling from the protesters and individuals escorting them out of the building drowned out the guided prayers, and the people kneeling in their pews stared at the scene as the unseen unfolded, according to the footage provided. Four protesters had exited the church, escorted by several parishioners, while one protester continued to move toward the altar and was blocked by about a dozen parishioners, according to the footage. I have a right as an American, she screamed. That is the protester, the demonstrator, the one that's violating a federal law that says you cannot enter a church building to disrupt the services while services are underway. I have a right as an American, she screamed as she was led out of the church building. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a mindset by these thugs in the street. There's a mindset somehow, some way, that they have the right to come in and demonstrate. They have the right to come in, disrupt the service. They have a right to come in and to burn buildings. Somehow there's a mindset they have a right to do these things. And the present administration embraces that mindset and that philosophy because of lawlessness that abounds in our nation today. Where's the law? Where's the CIA? Where's the FBI? Where's the DOJ? Where are those, I call them thugs with badges, that's supposed to be protecting we the people? Where are they when these events take place? Why don't we see mass arrest when these things are taking place? Ladies and gentlemen, we understand that this is lawlessness. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, there is the mindset, just as the writing on the building in Wisconsin. It's about the actions of the ones that are the Marxist, communist, socialist, anarchist. It's about their actions that's taking place, saying that if abortion isn't safe, then you aren't safe at all. That's a threat to the American citizens. If Christians were to make that kind of threat before a school board, if Christians were to go in and make that kind of threat in a public meeting at a city council, then they would be summarily arrested, prosecuted, and persecuted until they couldn't afford to do anything for, as far as defense. Ladies and gentlemen, it's because lawlessness abounds. And let me remind you again, in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, in the 12th verse, it warns us, ladies and gentlemen, we ought not to be surprised. We ought not to be shocked. The Bible warns us with the Lord Jesus himself telling us that in the last days, lawlessness shall abound. And we're watching the abounding of that lawlessness. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, the lawlessness is not condemned. The President of the United States of America, the one that fraudulently stole the office, the Oval Office, the one that is in there as a Manchurian candidate now, a Manchurian president, the one that sits there and supposedly makes decisions, though I don't believe he's making a solitary decision. He is the puppet, Barack Hussein Obama, with George Soros and others are behind the scene, that Joe Biden is simply the puppet that's making these choices and these decisions, but he says nothing about the lawlessness. He is very, very weak, anemic, to say the least. He says that the citizens in America, that people have a right, a constitutional right, to demonstrate. And then, of course, he says, as long as it's peaceful. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden and the DOJ, Merrick Garland, which is about as worthless as the $3 bill, they're making the decision. They're calling the shots rather than going by the law. They're making the decision on how to reinterpret and to reapply the laws that's already on the books. Ladies and gentlemen, we find today that Biden is anemic, and that statement is very anemic. He says that peaceful demonstrations are encouraged, but no, there's no prosecution, there's no arrest, there are no charges, there are no charges filed, because it is lawlessness that pervades America today. Why do I say this? Why is this necessary for us to understand? It's necessary to understand because as Christians, and we'll talk about it in a moment, as Christians, though lawlessness is taking place, whatever we do that is lawful based on the authority of the scripture and based on the laws of the land. Now, we're considered, the Christians, conservatives in America, the patriots in America, we're considered the domestic terrorists. We're considered the ones that are giving the disinformation. And disinformation, supposedly, is the greatest threat to human life in America. We'll talk about that later in this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the condition that we're in America, and it's because we're in the last of the last days, and therefore we need to wake up, sit up, stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen before it's too late. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have 1 minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.